Hi, I'm Heidi. I'm a mum of one, and I'm on a mission to understand the science of baby sleep. Not just what they do, but why they do it. What's going on in their brains when they sleep, and when they don't. Brought to you by PureFlow, the experts in baby sleep. This podcast will help you understand the whys, and hopefully find a little bit more patience in the middle of the night. Amanda is co-founder of Bundle London, who provide antenatal classes, breastfeeding support, sleep support, and more throughout pregnancy and into baby's first year. Amanda herself has supported new parents for over 12 years and is a mother of five. So she definitely knows what to expect when a new baby arrives. Hi, Amanda.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. I thought we could dive into what those very first few nights with a newborn are really like, because for any of our pregnant listeners, they might be wondering, what on earth's about to hit them?
Yes, it is a bit of a roller coaster, I have to say. And I don't think, as much as we can talk about preparing parents, which we do our best to do, until you've got that newborn baby in your arms, it's quite hard to imagine what life is going to be like.
Definitely. I mean, in your experience then, you know, when you've got that newborn, you've just given birth, what are those first couple of nights really like?
Yes, good question. Well, I guess if you take it from the point of once you're home, so you've left hospital, if indeed you've had your baby at hospital, it can be really overwhelming. Obviously, your hormones are raging, you're recovering from birth or beginning to recover from birth, and we don't know what kind of birth you will have had at that point. I think you look at your partner, if indeed your partner's with you, and you sort of look at each other and go, well, what do we do now? How do we negotiate this little baby? And it really is just a question of, I say, learning on the job. You've never done it before. Your baby's never been in the world before. So there's no right or wrong way of approaching it. You just do the best you can at that time.
Yeah, I think I certainly found, I did the NHS antenatal classes, and the focus was all about how I was going to give birth and that moment. And of course, your body, for the most part, naturally knows what it needs to do once you get to it. And then that moment, although it feels like a lifetime at the time, it was actually relatively quick. And now you've got this baby to care for the next few decades. And I suddenly found myself feeling ever so unprepared, because we didn't really talk that much about that. I know at Bundle you obviously support all the way through the first year to help people with that transition, which is brilliant. So I thought today we can kind of really get into helping people understand a little bit of what they might expect. So to start off, how long does a newborn sleep?
Good question. So there's a range, like within a thing. And for our conversation today, we can really talk averages. So the range is really 11 to 18. So within that point, you're 11 to 18 hours. Sadly for us as adults, babies don't sleep in any great length of time. So it's staggered throughout the day and the night, in no particular way. So your sleep is forever broken. So your baby may sleep in 2 to 3 hour stages and then wake up generally for a feed at that point. So that whole adage is, you know, that I talked to a lot of mums about, you know, rest or sleep when your baby sleeps. Sometimes it's quite difficult if it's bang in the middle of the afternoon. You're thinking, I've got to sort of do some laundry or empty the dishwasher or whatever. But if you can, at least try and rest, because it does take its toll on you over a period of a few weeks. You can feel quite exhausted with the broken sleep.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, roughly, it must change from baby to baby, but how often do they wake?
I'm going to be kind and say probably 3 hours, but some newborns tend to wake even a bit more. You know, it can be 2 hours. And you can talk to some parents who say their babies never seem to want to be put down or to sleep during the day at all.
It can certainly feel like they never sleep.
Yeah, no, it really can. So some days you can feel like you've got a baby stuck on you all day long, and every time you try and put them to sleep, they wake up again, their eyes sort of open up and think, hold on a second, why are you putting me down? But as a general rule of thumb, they tend to sleep in sort of 2 to 3 hour cycles, really.
And over that first few weeks, does that change at all?
It will gradually get better. I mean, you've got to think that babies tend to sleep in two stages. So we go into much deeper sleeps than babies. So they sleep in REM sleep and non-REM sleep, really, which are two two different sleep stages, and they tend to fluctuate between both of those. And their sleep cycles are much smaller than ours. We tend to sleep in 90-minute sleep cycles, and babies tend to sleep in 60-minute sleep cycles. So, but that will settle over a period of time. In conjunction to that, you've got the baby's tummy, which is tiny. And if you think of a newborn's tummy, it's about the size of a marble. And then eventually around about the 3 to 4 week mark, it's about the size of a sort of hard-boiled egg. So that's quite a big increase. So you'll find that once they can take in more food, they can feed more optimally and get more food and fill their bigger tummies up, they will then tend to start being able to go a bit longer between the feeds. But until that point happens, babies will sleep irregularly and feed often. It's just the way newborns are.
So I think the really important thing there is that that's normal.
That, absolutely. And we talk about this in our classes, really, because actually, if you can normalize it for parents, then they can relax and enjoy their babies and go with the flow and give themselves permission to do that rather than trying to sort of work out what's wrong, inverted commas, with their baby and why they're not doing 4 hours in between feeds like every other book tends to say. And that will come in time, potentially, down the line. But for now, there's a biological reason why your baby's sleeping these small sleep cycles and have to feed often.
Mm. And do you know anything about that? What is that biological reason? Why do they wake so frequently?
Well, I think it's one of the reasons is that they're designed to survive, and it keeps them safe. So they've got tiny tummies. They're doing, can you imagine the development of a newborn baby? It's so intense at that age. So, you've got consolidation of what they've learned. You've got muscle consolidation. You've got so many different things going on. So it's a massive, massive sort of, the introduction to being in the big wide world for a baby is a huge thing. So, everything takes its time, and we will all rightfully get there when the time is right.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I am the type of person who tends to try and race to the finish line on most things, and feeling quite panicked when my son was very, very tiny. When he was waking up, he would wake up kind of every 3 hours, as you say, and feeling like, no, we need to get to the point that he's sleeping through the night. That's the goal. And actually putting a lot of stress on myself around that. But as you say, that's not the goal. That actually would be not quite so normal if that were the case. Doesn't mean anything's wrong either if that is what's happening. Great. But normal is a very broad term in the world of baby sleep.
Oh, you're so right. I'm glad you said it like that. Because what does normal mean? Well, it's normal is whatever your baby's doing. And some babies are born more, again, inverted commas, textbook. So you will find that some of your friends will have a baby that tends to just sleep, eat, at really good spaced out intervals and is quite regular about everything. And you've got other friends who will have babies that, as we said it earlier on, they can never be put down, who is always attached to the breast, or who always seems to be awake, or who only sleeps and catnaps 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. So everyone's experience will be different.
And I think, as you said earlier, it's remembering that time will pass.
Yes.
As dreadful, I'm sure if there's any pregnant first time mums listening to this, they're probably thinking, oh my gosh,
exactly. No way. Help, I've changed my mind.
I know which baby I want, if you could order them. But that really, by the time that first year's over, things will change dramatically.
Everything is a stage.
Who knows in which direction they'll go in, but nonetheless, they will always change.
Absolutely. Everything will change. It's always a stage. Yeah. So, however long, and some stages last longer than others, and there'll be some stages and phases that you prefer than others. But nothing stays the same. You're quite right.
So I remember when I brought my son home from hospital, and he would wake in the night, and I would just think, what does he want? What does he want from me? And, you hear all this about how mums can understand their baby's cries and they know what they want. And, truth be told, as he got older and he got better at vocalising, I could tell the difference between his hungry cry or his tired cry or his I hurt myself cry. But realistically, when he was a newborn, no, it's just an awful lot of wailing. So when this baby wakes all these times in the night, what does mum do? What does the baby want?
Well, I think your first instinct will be to check whether they want to feed. It's just instinctively what we'll do as mums. In fact, this is probably the first thing that we think about. Actually, in the feeding cues, crying can be one of the last things they demonstrate. But of course, if it's the middle of the night and you've all been asleep up until that point, you may not have been observing your baby anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that you go to your baby, you pick your baby up, and you maybe offer them a feed. You might check their nappy. You might check the room temperature, baby's temperature, to make sure they're not too hot or cold, that nothing has startled them awake. But generally speaking, if it's the middle of the night, and if it's been probably by then 2-3 hours from the last feed, chances are they probably will want to feed. So at that point, you either offer them the breast or the bottle, depending what you're doing feeding wise. Mm-hmm. You don't always know why they're crying. You just have to sort of work it up. You'll go through a sort of checklist: nappy, cold, bored, you know, happy, bit of wind, you know, stuck in their tummies, you know, just because they're having a bad moment. And you don't always understand why, but, you know, some days are just a bit like that. You have a grizzly baby, you'll never get to the bottom as to why they're crying. Mm-hmm. But again, as you say, in time, you generally begin to, after a period of time, you can begin to work out some of the cries.
Mm-hmm. And if your baby is otherwise is healthy, but starts sleeping for longer periods, should you then wake that baby to feed?
Well, it's probably quite a good practice. I don't want to talk too in depth about routines because it can mean different things to different people. Mm-hmm. But as a general rule of thumb, if your baby, and this is, you know, a good sized, healthy baby that is developing well and regain their birth weight and they're doing really well during the daytime, I would suggest that if your baby has slept 4 hours, then it's probably quite good practice to wake them up and preempt their needs and give them a feed, because at some point they will need to feed. So if you're looking to start structuring your day a bit more, that, you know, letting your baby go for more than 4 hours is probably not so optimum. And actually, they probably will be hungering, even if they're in a deep sleep. So you can start little by little, preempting their needs and making sure they're getting the feeds in and the calories that they need in order to grow.
Mm-hmm. And often the baby will feed and then immediately dirty their nappy, but they will also often feed and feed themselves right back to sleep. And I remember this being the endless toss up for me of, oh, you could do with a nappy change, but actually he's just gone back to sleep and that's all I want in the world. So should you change the nappy every time that they feed, even if they've fallen back to sleep?
Very good question. Well, the nappies nowadays, a lot of the nappies nowadays are very, very clever because they have a little indicator line. So this changes colour if indeed it's a wet nappy. So, and nappies absorb really well now. So if your baby's gone back to sleep and the nappy feels quite sort of light and, you know, it gets heavier and heavier as the more wheeze they do, then I wouldn't disturb them. And that goes to the nighttime too. Obviously, if they've fallen asleep, but actually they've done a big poo at the time of falling asleep, and I probably wouldn't let them sleep in it for a great length of time.
Yeah, because I think, as you say, it's a confusing one, because when people were all using terry nappies, you'd probably have to change for every wee. Whereas now, as you say, the nappies are so absorbent that actually it doesn't irritate their skin quite so quickly.
No,
but of course, more and more mums are using cloth nappies, which is probably then a different set of advice again.
True, absolutely. I just use your judgment on that. I mean, if your baby's more prone to nappy rash, then obviously you might want to change the nappy more regularly. But again, if they're using the sort of the good disposable nappies, which absorb really well, then I wouldn't change the nappy, you know, for a wee or two at that point. No.
Okay.
But that's just, you know.
Well, you've got the experience.
Yeah, that's what I would do, but each to their own, of course.
Well, I think that is really important, actually. A good point that actually every parent needs to use their own judgment. And you're here to talk us through your experience with your own 5 babies and all the other parents that you've supported over the years. But really, that's your experience. But everyone does get to, you know, has to figure out their own way somehow.
Completely. You know, every parent will parent their way. And good for them. It's their family, it's their life, their baby. So they should be just hopefully tune in and trust their instinct and do what they feel is right for them. Mm-hmm. No judgment.
Absolutely. So just sort of going back to that first night or two in the hospital again, after the baby's just been born, obviously things have changed a lot in hospital over the last couple of years with COVID. And so the rules are changing all the time at the moment as to whether the partner can stay in the hospital alongside mum. So we can't say too much on that because that's constantly changing. But in terms of that, the mum and the baby in the hospital, does the baby stay with the mum or do they go off to these kind of nursery wards that you sometimes see in movies?
No, they should absolutely stay with their mum. And even just at the moments after birth, you know, if in an ideal world, your baby should be able to come out and come straight onto skin to skin, which is the most magical thing. And, you know, for the first few weeks, I definitely encourage lots of skin to skin. So keeping your baby close to you, they encourage us in hospital and they'll provide you with a little, you know, little cot which is on wheels, which can be right next door to you at all times.
Great. So the baby would be right next to your hospital bed. I think that's
absolutely
really interesting point, because people just don't know.
They think they might go to those big nurseries. No. They're tags and they're with you. Yeah, absolutely. Only in the films.
Yeah, exactly. And so then it's, you know, I know strangely women quite often give birth at night, seems to be a common phenomenon. And then as you roll around to say the next night, if you're still there in the hospital, I personally was there and couldn't sleep because I was like, well, hang on, I'm now here alone with my baby. I was on a ward, but I had curtains around me. And I'm now the custodian of this tiny human. I'm never going to sleep ever again. You know, it seems ridiculous now, but at the time I did not know what to expect or what to do. So in that situation, is it safe for mum to go to sleep with baby there next to her in its little cot?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the wards are hugely protected. And as you say, you're curtained off. The midwives are at the main station. There's midwives on, you know, on the ward. You know, visitors have to buzz in and out. There's just, you know, there's times for all of that anyway. So no, your baby should be safely with you at all times. So, you know, there's no problem for you to sleep. The only battle you will have, actually, as you say, is going to sleep, because either you'll be so in awe of this little being that you've produced, or, you know, the postnatal ward can be quite noisy and quite hot.
Yeah. And I would say, from my personal experience, don't be afraid to ask those midwives for help, because that's absolutely what they're there for. Mm-hmm. In my case, I vaguely remember, it's all a bit of a blur, but actually at about 2 a.m. crying to a midwife because I was so exhausted and didn't know what to do with this baby. And they offered very kindly to take the baby to the nurse's station for a little bit, so they wheeled him away just so that I could switch off safe in the knowledge that someone was watching him. Which worked for me for a couple of hours. But
completely,
as you say, mums absolutely can sleep in that circumstance if they can get any sleep.
Exactly.
So then once the baby comes home, where should they sleep?
Well, the advice or the guidelines are the baby should sleep with you for the first 6 months in your room with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the guidelines are for safe sleeping. Mm-hmm. So, but you'll find that initially in the first few weeks when you're at home, the image of putting your baby down to sleep in his or her Moses basket or cot, and you go off and have a lovely supper together uninterrupted is very unlikely. So you'll probably find, depending on the size of your house or home, that you may have something downstairs for the baby to sleep in, so that you can keep an eye on him or her whilst you're indeed getting supper ready. Or you may find actually that your baby is on your chest with you and you can't put your baby down.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is it okay to hold them while they sleep, or am I making a rod for my own back, people might say?
You can never overspoil a baby. And honestly, in the early days, just enjoy your baby, enjoy the skin to skin, enjoy the time you have. There are, as you move, as your baby, you know, settles and the weeks go by, there are certain things you can do with, you know, giving your baby the right sleep associations and maybe a few sleep associations so they're not completely dependent on you. Mm-hmm. But that's something to look at further down the line. In the initial days, just enjoy, you know, holding your baby and, you know, being close.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, that skin to skin, there's proven scientific benefit to that. I remember it being I was quite conflicted about it when my son was a baby, because on the one hand, I had this huge maternal urge to hold him, and clearly he was very happy being held and snoozing away on me. And then there was this other voice in my head nagging at me going, well, you're going to ruin this baby and he'll never sleep anywhere else ever again. And he'll be a 25-year-old still sleeping on you. But I think the fact that your experience and the science shows that actually it's not only beneficial, but you're not going to do any harm.
No, I remember having exactly the same fears as you. I mean, obviously, if you rock your baby to sleep for the first 6 to 8 months, and that's all you do, then you'll probably get a baby that is completely dependent on being rocked to sleep, because that's all you've done. But in the first, you know, in the initial weeks, just enjoy. And then at times, as I said before, think about your sleep associations and perhaps overlay quite a few, so you're not just doing one thing all the time. And your baby, the design, they will know what's expected of them. You know, they do make those connections quite quickly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, first weeks, just go with the flow and just give yourself permission to enjoy your baby, really. It goes so fast.
Well, that answers for when you're awake and you're sitting binging a box set and babies having a lovely snooze on you and everything is just beautiful. But what about at bedtime? Is it okay to co-sleep?
Yes, it's such a controversial, emotive subject that. Mm. And, you know, I know that when I bring it up in class, you know, I can see parents look at me like in horror, you know, because your baby should sleep, you know, independently in your room next door to you, as it were, next door to your bed. We know from research that about 50% of babies do land up in bed with you at some point by the time they're 3 months. It just happens. So really just think about, so sofas and armchairs are the really dangerous. That's the things, those are the two things to be avoided. But if you're a breastfeeding mum and you're choosing to breastfeed your baby and you're doing it from lying down position, and you haven't been drinking, nor has your partner, or smoking, or taking any form of medication or drugs, then the World Health Organization, UNICEF, see it as being safe, as long as you're doing it from a lying down position and you're in bed, which is safer than being doing it tired on a chair or a sofa. So it's a very emotive subject, but we do know that breastfed babies do tend to sleep quite well with mum, and it's an instinctive thing to do. So just do it safely and follow those guidelines.
Great. And I think there has been a bit of a change in certainly the Lullaby Trust guidance in the past few years, hasn't there, in respect to the fact, as you say, the stats show that as often as they might tell parents, just don't co-sleep, which was the message for a long time, which is why it's got this feeling of controversy around it, that, as you say, the stats show 50% of people at some point or another do end up co-sleeping. So it's not realistic just to keep saying don't do it, because actually it's the right thing for their family at that moment in time, and we need to find a way to work with that. So having these guidelines of the way to do it safely, I think, is really key. And I think it's well worth all parents just going and checking out and really reading the, you know, the detail of those guidelines and making sure they're familiar, because it is confusing. Because yes, you can totally sit on the sofa and cuddle that sleepy baby all day if you like, so long as you are wide awake and, you know, there's no risk of you accidentally, you know, dropping that baby. But as you say, at nighttime, in a nice clear bed, in a safe way, following the guidelines, it's okay and, you know, quite likely to happen here and there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, goodness, yeah, absolutely. And what I meant about the sofa, of course, you're absolutely right to be awake and cuddling your baby during the daytime. Yes, but not being tempted to lie down on the sofa and fall into a deep sleep. That's what we're trying to avoid. But for, as we just discussed, you know, but I think you just got to be mindful of, you know, sort of medication, alcohol and cigarette smoking. It's no go at that point.
Absolutely. Oh, well, that's been really, really interesting, Amanda. Thank you. If parents want to get more of your brilliant expertise and advice, can they get in touch with you and, you know, have further chats with you?
Definitely. I would love them to. And, Deborah, who I work with, we're always here to answer questions. And, you know, the information we give, certainly antenatally, you know, we can't expect parents to retain all of it. So, you know, we try and organise coffee mornings and things for people to come in just to talk about, you know, their experiences in the first weeks and the things they're going through and the phases they're going through, whether it's right, wrong, or is it normal, and just top tips, really. So, yeah, we're really more than happy to answer any questions.
Great. So we will link Bundle's website and social channels and everything in the show description. And I know that with that, then parents can go there. And if they want to, they can sign up for antenatal courses, which they could do instead of or alongside the NHS courses.
Absolutely.
And you also offer kind of one-to-one consultations and all sorts of other things. And actually in quite a broad range of areas, because you've got quite a team of experts working with you, haven't you?
Yeah, we do. We work with a lovely team of experts and one of the lead midwives at one of the London big teaching hospitals. Great baby sleep experts, breastfeeding experts. And we do a lovely baby massage class, which a lot of our parents join in the community afterwards. And also we do a fantastic pediatric first aid course, which is really highly recommended for, you know, parents to do, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So. Well, I recommend everyone goes and checks that all out then. So you've got absolutely tons of experience to share there.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for giving us some time to share some of your expertise today.
It's been a pleasure. It's been lovely to see you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Science of Sleep podcast, brought to you by PureFlow. If you have any questions, send them to me on Instagram @PureFlowSleep, and I'll find an expert to answer them for you. And if you need any baby sleep kit, head to pureflow.com to shop the award-winning range of baby sleep bags, cribs, swaddles, and more. Until next time, sleep well.